We've been in a series on the book of Revelation. This morning we're putting a pause in that series as we take a look at A New Day America. Can you say that with me? A New Day America. Next Sunday morning we'll return to our series from the seven letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. Powerful insights that the Lord speaks to our hearts today as we prepare ourselves to be even more His people. How many are glad you belong to Jesus? Amen. Turn to each other and say, I'm glad. How about you? Yeah, look at each other and say, choo choo. Some of you have heard me tell this little story. When I was a kid, must have been three or four, maybe. My older brother Brad and I, we used to play together, and as you can well imagine, we'd get ourselves in plenty of trouble and lots of mischief. And it was around the 4th of July, and I always loved sparklers. You know, when I was a kid, we couldn't get our hands on the big fireworks. You know, nowadays you can buy the fireworks on the stands that used to be able to see an entire city thing, you know, but we got sparklers, and we'd be out there in the evening with our folks and we'd be doing the sparklers. That was really cool. We loved that. We just loved it. Anybody else like the sparklers? So one night Brad and I decided, come on, let's go get the sparklers. So everybody's gone to bed. And so we got out the sparklers and we found a match and we started to light them on fire, and we thought, wait a minute, this is not going to be good. Somebody's going to catch us. It's going to be too easy to catch us doing this. So we got a great idea. We really came up with a great idea. So we went to the closet in our bedroom, and we moved all the stuff out. We said, nobody's going to see us in here. And so we moved all the stuff out, and we climbed inside the closet, and we closed the door, and we lit the sparklers on fire. Oh, man, we were having the time of our lives. Didn't matter that it was smoky. All we saw was sparkles and bright lights. And then we heard Mount Vesuvius, or whatever, Mount St. Helens erupted. What is going on in there? Boom, 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 running down the hall. And we didn't reckon that my dad might not like this. He came running. What's going on in here? Came running. All next thing we knew is the closet doors burst open. What are you guys doing? It was him. Our joy soon turned to terror and fear, and we were grounded for the rest of my life. I'm still grounded. But thank God that our revelry didn't burn our house down and destroy our lives. Do you understand that there's a spirit of revelry abroad in our land that's burning the house down? That's taking lives. And Dad is trying to put the fire out. He's trying to move in such a way that we don't destroy ourselves. We were birthed with a perspective, with a foundation. And it's old-fashioned to talk about now. And yet it's needful. Because the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And there is an onslaught in our land to destroy the foundations. What we were built, why we were created, how we were birthed as a nation. And if those foundations can be destroyed and people refuse to visit them and don't give them credence, then people don't know the way we were set in a direction as a nation. And so we're adrift on a sea of public perception. Whatever the mores are of the day, they'll take the day. And like sparklers with kids and revelry, we're getting ready to burn the house down. Lord, have mercy on our land. 237 years ago, our nation was birthed amidst heartbreak and frustration, betrayal, yet persistent courage in the face of tyranny and cruel kingship. God gave the victory, and we should celebrate. And we're not going to be apologizing for our celebration. We should celebrate. Benjamin Franklin said there should be pomp and circumstance and gunfire and all sorts of things that go off to honor our birthday celebration. And it should be. But before we get there, we need to hit our knees and pray and repent and ask God for mercy in our land, for a new day, America. In the scripture, the Bible says, Luke 4, verse 8, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Say it with me, please. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And in the Greek, it literally says, where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord, there is liberty. You see, when you try to disassociate them, disconnect them, you have freedom that may yield to revelry or lead to revelry, but liberty is birthed in the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord. When you surrender to Him and to His Word, and His Word is written in your heart and in your mind, there's a keeping power of the Holy Spirit. And you don't find your joy in sin, you find your joy in walking rightly with God. Amen? It's an interior captivation by the Spirit of the Lord and His Word. Galatians 5:1-13. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For you, brethren, have been, what have we been called to? Liberty. Only do not use liberty. This is exactly what I'm saying. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You're free. You're free to serve. You're free to minister. You're free to help. You're free to encourage. You're free to walk with God. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation, please say it with me, whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen for His own inheritance. 237 years ago, bells began to ring out across churches across the land in the celebration of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Our forefathers made a pact and a choice, with a willing-hearted choice, to pay the cost with their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Freedom was that important. It's God-birthed. The call that had gone up and down the seacoast is no king, but King Jesus. Freedom comes only from Him. And now, sadly, we've kicked God away from nearly every realm in our national life. Our colonies and our resources back in their day were being raped economically. Men and women of conscience who had no desire to rebel against England had to join in for the call for freedom. The country had been birthed with a liberty to come and worship the Lord, and that was being taken away. And the ability for them to even make a living and eke out a living in a new land was being removed from them, bit by bit, with a tyrannical power that was trying to destroy their liberty. What is the word liberty, and what does it mean? And freedom, from Webster's. Freedom means liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another. The word liberty, freedom from physical restraint, freedom from arbitrary or despotic control, the power of, what's the word?
Choice.
Power of choice. All right, let's go through a little history this morning. The Declaration of Independence. The time frame is June 7, 1776. The Continental Congress had been convened, and Richard Henry Lee of Virginia brought a resolution. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown. It reflected the attitude of the colonies. The Second Continental Congress had been convened, and now let's go back a year. We'll flash back a year to June of 1775. They established the Continental Congress and the Army. in August of 1775, there had been a royal proclamation that came from the King of England that the American subjects were, quote, engaged in open and avowed rebellion. The English Parliament had passed the American Prohibitory Act. American vessels and cargoes were forfeit to the king. The king and the vessels of England could gather them, they could board them at any time and steal and take anything they wanted. January of 1776, Thomas Paine, how many remember Thomas Paine? You ever heard of him? He wrote Common Sense, and it's a pamphlet that sold by the thousands, began to spread like wildfire through the colonies, and it was a treatise showing how independence was inevitable and a calling. May 1776, the king makes treaties with the Germans. The King of England made treaties with the Germans to hire mercenaries to fight in America. One by one, the Continental Congress cut the colonies' ties to Britain. American ports began to be open to doing commerce with other nations. May 1776, 8 colonies declare their support for independence. The Lee Resolution passes in June of 1776. June 11 of 1776, Congress commissions a committee of 5 people to draft a statement to present to the world the colonies' case for independence. How many remember who the 5 were? Remember any of them? John Adams, Roger Sherman, Benjamin Franklin, Robert Livingston, and Thomas Jefferson. Now, Jefferson did the primary writing. On July 1 of 1776, Congress reconvenes. On July 2nd, the Lee Resolution for Independence is adopted by 12 of 13 colonies. The Congress begins to then consider and take up the Declaration. Alterations to this document were made right into late July 3rd and into the very late morning of July 4th. But at last, it was signed and bells began to ring out over Philadelphia. And the Declaration of Independence is adopted. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But before we even read another paragraph, that is hinged and was based on an understanding that we must be in right relationship with Almighty God and His Word. I'm reading through the Bible in a year this year through a what's called the Founder's Bible that is just chock full of the early forefathers' declarations and those who helped birth the freedom and liberty in our nation and the things they said and the things they believed. The relationship with Jesus Christ and the Word of God was paramount and preeminent. That's where all of this was birthed. And that was the understanding. You can go back to documents called the Federalist Papers and you can read some of the original heartbeat behind some of these documentations and where they were coming from. And so you see, so deists like to point out, or atheists like to say, well, see, they were all deists because of language regarding providence or to a supreme God. That was all language in their day that totally communicated with them about our Judeo-Christian heritage and about a walk with God, understanding His Word and relationship with Jesus Christ. Here we come, 237 years later, and we try to take today's perspectives and put it on that time frame. And it doesn't work that way. How many understand? Are you with me? Are you still with me? I'm going through history, I know, but how many understand we don't create God in our image? How many understand that we don't tell God what His Word means? Someone say amen or oh no. You know, we're created in His image. And He tells us what His Word means. We do our best to understand it and keep growing and understanding it, but we labor to understand what is His heart. And so it's the same with our founding documents. We don't take 2013 sensibilities and perspectives and throw them onto our founding documents. We try to go, and it used to be laws were interpreted according to the framers' understanding. Someone say amen. Or, oh no. Okay. We therefore, The representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do and in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they're absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And for the support of this declaration, please say it with me, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The Revolutionary War, again, going back a little in time, June of 1775, there were outbreaks that took place after Lexington and Concord, and so Congress establishes a Continental Army, and they name who as our first leader of the Continental Army? Remember? George Washington. The quotes of him as an astounding man, that 10,000 kings wouldn't look, they would pale. Standing next to George Washington were the kind of documents that were written about him. It was a fantastic thing. Saratoga and Yorktown took place, and our little country and our little army had great victory over 1,000 British soldiers. And the British soldiers began to lose the heart for battle because our people were passionate for the victory that they wanted to see us have. France, after the two Saratoga and Yorktown things had happened, openly declared their support for the colonies' independence. They were invaluable to us for our being as becoming established as a nation. Holland, Spain, and France provided provision and munition and supplies. 7 to 8 years, the Revolutionary War was unfolding. 25,000 Americans died, 25,000 more wounded. Why? So we can enjoy living in a free America. If you've ever done any study and you read what happened to those who signed the Declaration of Independence, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Most of them lost all because they could see us through the corridors of time walking in liberty before the Lord. A new day, America. So now here we are, and we've thrust God away from our country. In our public arenas, our schools, our economy, we see the results of frustration on every hand. And how many can say with me, we need a new day, America? 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, I exhort first of all that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Say it, please. The man, Christ Jesus, who, read the rest with me as well, who gave himself a ransom for all. To be testified in due time. Church, we don't stand here this morning hating anybody. We're not here to bash anybody. But do you know the scripture tells us that God hates sin and it destroys lives. And so we hate what God hates. And if we don't say what's sin and what's error from truth and from life and righteousness, people never know about their need for a Savior. Anybody in this room needed Jesus to save you? Forgive you of sin? Thank God he did. But when our way is contrary to the Word of God, that's sin. And that destroys lives. And that is rampant in our land. So we come to 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 and 15. Would you read the whole thing with me, please? And my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. So the scripture provides us a pattern to follow. Number one, recognize the turmoil and the trouble, the hand of judgment in our land. Number two, humble ourselves. Number three, pray and turn from our wicked ways. The First Continental Congress called for a day of public humiliation fasting, prayer throughout the colonies on July 20, 1775. James Warren wrote Samuel Adams, here's the quote, 3 millions of people on their knees at once, supplicating the aid of heaven is a striking circumstance. And a very singular one in America, he wrote, may the blessings of heaven follow in answer to our prayers. How do we come to a new day, America? The way back begins with humility and brokenness before Him, and a deep cry to find His face, His presence, His mercy, to turn from our sinful ways and resolve to return to the ways of God. Scripture is full of examples. Abraham called out to God. Moses called out to God. Ezra, Paul, all cried out to God. And James 4 verse 10 tells us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Now, throughout our land today is an event called Call to Fall. Pat, if you could put this up, I've been speaking about this for a couple of weeks, and we're going to involve ourselves with well over 1 to 3 million believers across the nation today, and we're going to join in on Call to Fall. Now, we're going to hand out a few pieces of paper. Vern, Dan, would you guys help me for a minute here, if you would? If you would pass these out, then I'll have another page for you to pass out as well. Thank you. While they're passing it out, let me just share about a few needs that have happened, and then we'll go through this. Just a couple of needs. Did you know there's a current lawsuit in our land because a sixth grade girl, known only as AZ, the sixth grade girl and her friends wanted to distribute pro-life flyers during lunchtime at their school, and the school made their stop. In her health class, the topics had ranged from childbirth to drugs to alcohol to date rape. But the Classical Academy in St. Paul, Minnesota, objected to the message this sixth grade girl wanted to share with her classmates. And it was simply this, save the baby humans, stop abortion. The school's executive director sent an email to this girl's parents saying this, quote, the content of the flyers was inconsistent with the school's educational mission, and added, the school has the right anytime to censor students without violating their free speech. A sixth grade girl. We have military things happening all over the country. Just listen to a few of them. When a serviceman expressed his religious opposition about homosexuality on a personal blog, he received a severe and possibly career-ending reprimand. An enlisted service member was given a negative efficiency report for sending personal invitations to his promotion party in which he said he would be serving Chick-fil-A sandwiches in honor of the Defense of Marriage Act. That's it. That's all he said. And now he's been slammed and possibly has his career coming to an end. A senior military official at Fort Gamble sent out a lengthy email instructing officers to recognize that the religious right in America is a domestic hate group akin to the KKK and the neo-Nazis because of their opposition to immoral behavior and homosexual behavior. Used to be you could say what you believed, whether or not you even believed it morally, and people gave you that right and understanding. Whether you agreed or not, you could express. And we used to be free to say, here's what the Word of God says. And we're still going to say that. We're not going to be here to hate anybody, but we're still going to say, this is what the Word of God says. Because if we don't preach the truth, we might as well close the doors. I don't care if you got thousands of people attending. If you don't speak the truth, then it's not God's church. Someone say amen. Amen. An Air Force officer was told to remove a Bible from his desk because it might offend someone. The officer had had the Bible on his desk for 18 years. A chaplain was relieved of his command over a military chapel because he refused to deviate from the federal marriage law at that time and allow same-sex weddings. Enlisted servicemen threatened, denied promotion for expressing during a personal conversation. He simply expressed, while he was talking to somebody, his support for God's type of marriage. Last month, or 2 months ago now, Coast Guard Rear Admiral William Lee told a National Day of Prayer audience that religious liberty was being threatened by Pentagon lawyers and service members. They're being told to hide their faith in Christ. Leaders like myself, he said, are feeling the constraints of rules and regulations and guidance issued by lawyers that put us in a tighter and tighter box regarding our constitutional right to express our religious faith. How about graduation? You're told not to say anything about Jesus, and you see the news stories year by year, people that throw away their speech and lead everybody in the Lord's Prayer, and people are cheering and shouting and they're declaring their support. Here's a young man who was told he couldn't say a word about the Lord. And he was a valedictorian, and as he got up that night, he ripped apart his pre-approved speech, gave thanks to God for his Christian parents. Then he recited the Lord's Prayer to the cheers and applause from the audience. The Freedom From Religious Foundation descended from their perch with the full weight of their anti-religious wrath, claiming that the school district was somehow responsible for his irreverent behavior. I could go on and on and on. Major General retired William Boykin said, "It's a spiritual enemy that we have to contend with. Now's the time to fight. We've got to defeat them on our knees. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our nation. God is alive. God is real. God will answer the prayers of those who humble themselves before Him. No mortal is the enemy. It's the enemy you can't see. It's a war against the forces of darkness. The battle won't be won with guns. It'll be won on our knees. Don't let go of this country. Stay on your knees and don't ever give up." Billy Graham said, "When ancient Israel turned against God, the prophets warned that God's judgment would eventually come upon them, and it did. But God also warned that the surrounding nations would be judged too, because they had no regard for God, and they were." Dr. Graham went on to say, "Sometimes it happens in one great catastrophe, sometimes it happens in a series of smaller disasters and defeats, but it happens. We can change the course of events," he said, "if we go to our knees in believing prayer. To get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. Call to fall in humble prayer. America needs change. Yet the change we need does not come from Washington or Wall Street." Can someone say amen? Amen. It comes from God. Begins with God's people praying to Him for the change we need. We've already read 2 Chronicles 7:14. It goes on to say, "But God promises real change, spiritual healing for our souls and our land, if we'll simply humble ourselves in repentant prayer before Him." Take a look at the Daniel 9 verse 5 scripture. "We've sinned and done wrong," Daniel prayed. "We've been wicked and have rebelled. We've turned away from Your commands and Your laws." Gentlemen, would you come pass out another piece of paper? And what I'm going to do is read excerpts from an Abraham Lincoln declaration in 1863 amid civil war. He made a proclamation, a national day of prayer, humiliation, and fasting before the Lord. And then we're going to spend a few moments in prayer together. Anybody breathing?
Yeah.
All right. We love everybody, don't we? Thank you. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now you go on to read the next scripture, and that next scripture says, if you don't believe, you're condemned already. We want to see nobody condemned, but everybody come to His grace. Amen? His grace is amazing. Isn't that true? Have you received amazing grace?
Amen.
All right. Abraham Lincoln in 1863, amid civil war, proclaimed a national day of public humiliation, prayer, and fasting. And here is what he said. So you have these that you can take home and review later if you'd like and read again. "Whereas it is fit and becoming in all people at all times." Now watch. You tell me if he had a relationship with the Lord. We know that he did, by the way, whether people acknowledge it today or not. "On his busiest days, Abraham Lincoln said, I take not just 2 hours was his daily time with the Lord. He pushes aside his calendar and would spend 4 hours with the Lord in prayer and in the Word of God on his busiest days, so he had the Lord's wisdom to help him make decisions. Whereas it is fit and becoming in all people at all times to acknowledge and revere the supreme government of God, to bow in humble submission to his chastisements, to confess and deplore their sins and transgressions in the full conviction that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to pray with all fervency and contrition for the pardon of their past offenses and for a blessing upon their present and prospective action. He's in the middle of the civil war. He's calling out. He's saying, nation, we need to pray for God to heal our land. America, it's time for a new day, for a healed land. It is particularly fit for us to recognize the hand of God in this terrible visitation, and in sorrowful remembrance of our own faults and crimes as a nation and as individuals, to humble ourselves before him, to pray for his mercy, to pray that we may be spared further punishment, though most justly deserved, that our arms may be blessed and made effectual for the reestablishment of law, order, and peace throughout the wide extent of our country, that the inestimable boon of civil and religious liberty, earned under his guidance and blessing by the labors and sufferings of our fathers, may be restored in all its original excellence. Therefore, I appoint a day of humiliation, prayer, and fasting for all the people of the nation. And I do earnestly recommend to all the people, especially to all ministers and teachers of religion of all denominations, to the heads of families, to observe and keep that day according to their several creeds and modes of worship, in all humility, with all religious solemnity, to the end that the united prayer of the nation may ascend to the throne of grace and bring down plentiful blessings upon our country. How many want to see God move in that same way? I'm going to ask you to join with me. For those of you who can, please don't leave. We'll sing again at the end. But for those of you who can, I will ask you to join me on your knees. If you can't, sit in your chair, no problem. If you can, let's go to our knees. Let's go to God. I'll do this in just a moment. Let's go to God and let's spend a few minutes in prayer together, joining with others all across our land this morning in the call to fall. Father, as we come before you as a congregation, we join with a multitude of believers all across our land this morning. We don't take this light nor trite. Oh God, we repent on behalf of our own sins and the sins of our land. We turn away, O God, from every bit of wickedness. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for trying to remake you in our image and trying to put what we want on your word. Lord, this morning we come before you and ask you to intervene in our land. Wash us clean by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we fall upon you and call upon you to have mercy in our land. What I'd like you to do is just group together in two or three and pray together for a couple of minutes. In the same vein, pray for our country, pray for our leaders, pray for our families. We'll spend a few minutes in prayer, then we'll come back together and we'll do a congregational prayer together. Go ahead and break out into groups of two or three and go in prayer. As you finish up your prayers, we're going to have a time of congregational prayer. I'd like you to follow along with me. And then I'll read a part and then you have a responsive prayer. Let's cry out to God together. You don't have to see my part, but your part will be in bigger print. Can you all see that? There you go. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever, and your faithfulness to all generations.
We come to you, our Creator, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. You are God of the old and the new testament.
Lord, Lord, today we unite with fellow Christians across America from many denominations and backgrounds, falling to our knees before you, asking you to help us humble ourselves, not only today, but every day.
Hear our prayers, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
We've been a proud and arrogant people and nation. You have blessed us, but we've taken your blessing for granted.
You are worthy of our love and devotion, but we have forgotten you and ignored your word. Forgive us, Lord.
We have forgotten you, forsaken you, the spring of living water. We've chosen to love the world and the things of the world.
And then your people, forgive us, Lord.
You call us to be a light, to live holy lives, to walk in Christian love and carry you and your gospel to the nations.
We have been afraid to share your word and love with our neighbors, so we can be complacent. Forgive us, Lord.
You command us to bring up our children in your way, but we haven't, and our youth are leaving the faith. Jesus, too often we've been complacent and apathetic, lazy, disobedient, unfaithful to your call.
You charge us to be salt to our families, our culture, to preserve truth, and all that is godly and pure. But we haven't yet. Forgive us, Lord.
Instead of changing the world has changed us. We fail to be the salt of the earth, to lift you up, and to be the light of the world.
Forgive us, Lord, we pray.
Our forefathers, with their love and devotion to their children and to future generations, sacrificed their lives for us. Yet we have become the me generation.
We elect leaders to give us benefits. We have lost sight of living for you. Our family, helping our fellow countrymen.
Forgive us, Lord. Now our nation's under judgment. Natural disasters, war, some other nations hate us, international terrorists have penetrated our borders. We've economic collapse and turmoil, and preachers and politicians are seen for acts of corruption and immorality. Our jails and prisons are filled to overflowing. Our adults and children are enslaved by sin and sex, drugs, alcohol.
Forgive us, Lord.
Abortion and sexual immorality. I heard a new statistic this morning, 57 million, or the other day, 57 million kids. Abortion and sexual immorality have become protected rights. Evil is called good. Good is called evil. We've allowed man to define marriage instead of you. For the lust, the division, the murder of our young. Lord, we cry out to you today. Hear our cry. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Lord, heal our land. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Revive your churches and our nation, we pray. Set our pulpits aflame with righteousness. Purge compromise from our pews and cause your word to go forth to every city and town in America.
Make your people salt and light again. Raise up godly leaders in church and state, and grant that we might be quiet and use the law in godliness and honesty.
We return wholly to you. Return, Lord, to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, by faith, we receive your mercy, your forgiveness, your new day for America. Amen. Let's stand if you can. Help each other. Oh, well, okay. Let's all stand. How many believe God hears prayer? How many know that God is good? Amen. He is good. I pray that you have an absolutely fantastic 4th of July, if we don't see it, our celebration. Have a wonderful time with your friends and family, and thank God as you pause to celebrate that day. Thank God for the heritage you have in our country and the freedom that you have in our country. And then we'll be back together again next Sunday morning. We invite you as we continue on to the next city in the book of Revelation. We're enjoying the Lord. Isn't he good, church? He's a great God. God bless America.